The family is made possible in part by the generous support of Devereaux, the nation's largest nonprofit provider of behavioral health care for children, adolescents, and adults with developmental and intellectual disabilities, behavioral disorders, and mental illness. Devereaux operates at 15 centers in 11 states throughout the country.
I'm Dan Gottlieb. Thanks for listening to Voices in the Family. Jane Isay grew up in New York City, the daughter of a columnist and a psychiatrist. After graduating here, Bryn Mawr College, she worked at Yale University Press. Eventually, she spent 25 years as an executive in a variety of publishing houses. In 2004, she left her job as editor-in-chief at Harcourt Trade Books to write Walking on Eggshells, Navigating the Delicate Relationship Between Adult Children and Parents. In a couple of minutes, we'll find out why she took such a radical left turn in her life. First, I want to give you our phone number. It's 888-477-9499. That is the number to call if you want to join our conversation about adult children, dealing with adult children, or you adult children, if you want to talk about dealing with your parents. I know this is a big issue. I get calls about this every week. I get two or three calls. So give us a call, and please call early in the show, because I have a feeling we're going to get backed up. Again, that's 888-477-9499. Jane, I say welcome to Voices in the Family.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So I'm a baby boomer.
Yeah.
I guess you're in the same neighborhood.
In the same neighborhood, yes.
Okay. So when I was turning to an adult in my early 20s, I remember feeling awkward and clumsy with my parents as I got married and had children, you know, the boundary issue, the power issues. But that's all. I mean, it was just awkward and clumsy, I think, for all of us. Today, almost half the calls I receive professionally are from people in conflict with their adult children or adults in conflict with their parents. So first, tell us, what was it like for you with your parents and what changed?
Well, I think my story is the story of a lot of people of our generation. My parents were the greatest generation. Actually, they were a little older, but they lived through the poverty, the depression. They said the depression didn't bother us. We didn't have anything to lose. And World War II. And they knew what was best for everybody. They'd survived all those terrible times, and they were clear what my brother should do in his life. He's a doctor. What I should do in my life, marry a doctor. And the rules were very clear. The discomfort was in trying to figure out how to be your own person, despite the very strongly worded advice from parents. In the generation of our children, we raised our children with Dr. Spock. And we were not many of us were not authoritarian, partly in contrast to our parents and partly in response to the times, which were much freer. We didn't tell our daughters that they couldn't wear orange and pink, and if our sons didn't want to do something, well, we didn't push them too much. When they grew up, there were no ways for us to express our feelings and no ways for them to show us that they had grown up. And the boundaries, which we had really tried to blur when they were little, we wanted to be friends with our kids, remember?
Yeah, that was the first mistake.
It was a big mistake. And so the boundaries were blurred.
And then we got caught up in this self-esteem craziness.
That's right. And so parents of my generation have a terrible time figuring out how to articulate their thoughts, their needs, in a way that makes for ease of companionship and living together.
Yeah, they're having difficulty articulating their needs and even knowing what they are.
That's right.
You know, we grew up as young adults not being entitled to have
right.
our needs. You know, it was all about the kids. So, you know, the question I posed in the introduction, there you are, editor-in-chief at Harcourt Trade Books. Why this shift, and why now?
Well, there were a lot of reasons for it. First of all, I'd spent over 40 years in large organizations, And I, as an editor, I had specialized in psychology, both at the Yale Press and in New York. And I thought, as my kids were growing into their 20s, I was having a hard time connecting with them. I'd wanted them to have their own lives, but they didn't return my phone calls. And I started talking with my friends about it, and we were all in the same boat, each of us thinking we were the only person who was suffering.
You said your kids, your kids are boys, yes?
Yeah, I have two sons.
Yeah, I wonder if some of that is gender-related.
Well, I actually found in talking to people of the parental generation that it isn't. Boys are meant not to be as tied to their moms. But in our generation, I have found that daughters have a different way of not connecting, or of connecting in a very angry and kind of teenage way. So my friends and I were all suffering, and I tried to get everybody I knew, important psychologists, including Mary Pfeiffer, to write the book. But nobody wanted to write it. And I was getting fed up with corporate life, and I said, the hell with this. I've taught many people how to write books. I know how to do it. I'll go write it.
So essentially, you wrote this book to understand what was going on with your two sons.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it makes sense, which is...
Well, you know that most people in this field who write books on a subject have pain in that subject.
Right.
It's just the law.
It's why psychologists become psychologists, because we need to be in therapy full time.
That's right. And why editors like me work with psychologists and psychiatrists. It's all the same.
Right.
So, and I traveled around. So I decided to write this book, and I traveled around the country. I interviewed people from big cities and small, rich people and poor.
How did you find them?
I found them through a network of friends and through sending out a request over the Internet to various groups. My Bryn Mawr class, I had a number of people who were interviewed, very articulate women. And I also interviewed, half of them were people who, from 25 to 50, the kid generation, and half of them were 55 to 75, the parental generation.
Wow. When you say 25 to 50, you're covering a wide range of issues.
But the people in their 50s, many of the people in their 50s had, at least, even if they'd overcome the struggles, had lived through the struggles of responsibility and of communication. But what I found most interestingly and most excitingly, Dan, was that they love us. They really love us, even if they blow up at the holidays, even if they're anxious and tetchy on the phone. Every grown child I interviewed, even people who were not speaking to their parents, said, we love them. Love them.
I mean, that's the case from the time they can utter their first syllable.
That's right, but until, as they grow up, they have the power to distance themselves.
That's true. So, yeah, they've got more authority, but it's the old... You know, I hate you, but I still love you.
Well, right, but I also found that many parents were suffering when their grown kids were being angry and distant, thinking that their kids no longer loved them.
Yeah, and they also, you know, the parents, we adult parents now no longer have the illusion of control. So if they don't call us back, then there's nothing
we can do
about it, which is painful.
It's very painful, but the illusion, I like the expression, the illusion of control, because I think as parents, even when our kids are small, we grew up with the illusion of control from the time they were very little.
Yes.
And that is an illusion. To some extent, it's an illusion. They'll be who they'll be.
Right. I want to take a second to reintroduce you and to mention we're with Jane Isay, who has written Walking on Eggshells, Navigating the Delicate Relationship Between Adult Children and Their Parents. If you've got trouble communicating with your adult children, or you're an adult child and have stories to tell about your parents, number's 888-477-9499. Again, that's 888-477-9499. Please call early in the show. We've only got Jane until 12:30, and then I'll chat with you for the second half of the show. But again, that's 888-477-9499. Jane, tell us what you learned from the adult children? Any generalizations?
Yeah. Well, I learned, first of all, I learned that they love us. They also, the most important finding, aside from that, if you know that your kids are not distancing themselves because they hate you, it makes everything a lot easier. I think that's very important. But they also hear advice as criticism. And this is the key finding of my research. They are super sensitive to everything their parents say. We have megaphones in our mouths from when they were little. So, and they know what we're thinking. If they bring, if a grown child brings home a boyfriend or a girlfriend whom we don't much like on sight, they can tell from our shoulders.
Oh yeah,
what we think.
Yeah, they're
exquisitely attuned.
Their lives have always depended on their knowing what goes on inside of us.
Exactly.
You said they take our advice as criticism, and I think they're right, Jane. You know, my mantra is that unsolicited advice is always self-serving.
Oh, I agree.
I'm glad
that's your mantra, because I've gotten a lot of criticism from that for that point of view, Dan.
Well, tough. You're right.
Thank you. And they really, really, they are fully aware of how they have failed us, even if they haven't. Here's an example. When we were growing up, we went to college, we got our whatever, and either we started working or we got our graduate degrees or we got married. It was there was a single track train we were all on. Kids now, especially in their 20s, they don't make any of the major commitments that we did at when we were that age.
And yet our expectations of our children understandably are based on our experience, not theirs.
Exactly. But many of the young women said, you know, my mom already had 3 children when she was my age and I'm not even dating anybody.
Right.
Or my dad had already started at his lifetime career, and I'm a bartender still. So they're judging themselves. They are constantly judging themselves in ways that you would never know from talking, if you're the parents, from talking to them. And so they're very sensitive about advice. Criticism is worse. One of my favorite stories in the book is a woman whose father really, really loves her. She's got a problem with her weight, and he would always say to her, "Hi, honey, you're looking better."
Oh, God.
So finally she said, "Dad, if you think I look good, just say it. Because when you say I'm looking better, I know what you think."
Of course. I've learned a lesson as a father.
Yeah.
Don't ever, ever talk about weight, food. You know, my job as a father of 2 daughters is really easy. Just adore them. It's just that easy.
It's that easy. And, well, you know, you're absolutely right. In the course of my research and my travels, especially lecturing all over the country once the book was published, I found the magic sentence for your kids, grown kids. It's like Miracle-Gro for their spirit. It's 4 words. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
And you don't have to wait till they win the Nobel Prize.
Right.
And when they have a sense that we support them, and we support their strengths, you don't have to be proud of everything your kid does, but if you support their strengths and their admirable behavior, it's amazing.
Well, it's like I say about what little kids need of us. They need our faith in their resilience and their problem-solving skills. They need our, especially as kids get older, they need our faith much more than they need our guidance.
I couldn't agree more. That's very beautifully said. I think you're totally right.
I want to go to the lines. We've got John on the line. He's on line 3. Can we get him on? John?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well.
Okay, Dr. Dan, thanks very much for taking my call.
Sure.
It's odd that you used the word faith, because I wanted to talk about communicating with my son who doesn't communicate. And it's kind of like prayer. You just keep at it, and eventually you get a response. But seriously, it drives his mother crazy that he would never call. But he would call me occasionally, and that would make her very angry.
Jealous.
But what she didn't understand, I finally sat down, and I won't use the term. I said, do you understand that in a two-week period, I may send him 7 emails and call him 3 times? Maybe every 3 or 4 weeks, there's a call. And I regard that as winning.
You're a wise man. This is Jane speaking. You are a wise man.
Please don't say that. They'll drum you out of the girls' club, though.
No, but really, if you just let them know you're thinking of them without demanding a response, that gets just a little easier, and they don't feel so guilty about all the times they didn't answer. They know how many times you called, by the way, just like you do.
Hey, John, I've got 2 daughters. I feel like Tevye here. I've got two.
I only have 3 sons. Sorry.
Well, my daughters, they're 11 months apart, and one of them, I talk on the phone with. Geez, 3, 4. If not 5 times a week, we talk and chat. The other one, if we talk once a week, once every 10 days, I'm lucky. I won't, you know, I see her on Passover and Thanksgiving unless I beg her or go up there. And that's that. And she and I used to have a lot of arguments and a lot of conflict, and I would feel awful. I would make her feel guilty. And finally we sat down. And I said, what would you like to do with communication? What works for you and what works for me? And, you know, she told me what works for her. It's not that she's angry. It's just that she doesn't like the telephone. Mm-hmm. Email's okay, but she just doesn't like the telephone. And that's just the way it is. And that's what I have to live with. Now that I understand her rules, I'm not thrilled with it, but, you know, I'm more comfortable with it. It's not a conflict anymore.
You know, Dan, that's interesting because I have the same experience. I speak 3 or 4 times a day with a week with one of my sons, and the other, yeah, you know, you could hold, take a breath and hold it, but before he's off the phone. And I asked his wife at one time. I said, you know, what is it? How, and she said he hates the phone.
Yeah, it's just that easy.
And it was just that easy. And if I have lunch with him during the work day, he's too busy to focus. So I see him later.
Yeah. They learned our rules. We need to learn theirs.
Yeah.
John, thanks so much for your call. What happens, though, when we watch our children making some bad decisions, poor choices of mm-hmm. partners or worse, you know, drugs or, you know?
It's terrible. It's terrible. I think the reason that that friends were invented is so you can vent with them. I keep remembering, my first movie was Snow White. Do you remember that movie?
Sure,
the
sure.
Disney Snow White?
Sure.
Well, remember when the wicked stepmother or queen poisoned the apple,
mm-hmm.
and it went from bright red to kind of dark red on the screen. Well, as a little girl, I wanted to cry out, don't eat the apple! And that's, as parents, what we want to do.
That's true.
And we can't, because they're going to make their own mistakes. They have to make their own mistakes. Some of those mistakes are really serious, and they're serious enough, in my opinion, that we need to say one time, you know, I think this is a mistake.
Hmm.
Not about love life, because I don't think we have a right to tell our kids who to love. And I also have come to it's very easy to understand if they're given a choice between their mom or their dad and the love of their life, who are they going to choose?
Right.
So, and I think they have all of us have made mistakes in our lives, and we've all learned from them. And we have to have the self-control to let our kids make their mistakes. You know, when they're learning to walk, you want to grab them because they're going to fall down, but you can't because they have to learn to walk. Well, when they're in their 20s and 30s, there are times when you want to grab them and you can't.
Can we keep you for a couple more minutes? Let's see if we can get another call in before you go.
Thank you.
Maria on the line. Hi, Maria.
Hey. Hi, Maria. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a 30-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
She still lives at home. She's an adopted Korean child. she's had some losses in her life, obviously, her birth parents and her my first husband, who has shown no interest in her. She's very successful financially. I have a new husband who's a wonderful role model for 8 years, and she just keeps living with us. And we've talked about the fact that now's a real good time to buy a house financially. And she just keeps living with us. And
do you know why?
Do I know why? My gut is she's scared.
Have you
to be by herself?
Well, you might be right, but have you asked her why?
Yeah, she uses financial reasons.
But
and they're not valid because she probably makes more money than we do.
Well,
and there's a lot of anger toward me. I have to tread very carefully, and I do understand that. I have a son also, and he felt very angry with me for the longest time, and he's over it. We have a great relationship.
Well, it's important to understand what's underneath the anger and what's really going on here. Rather than have a push and pull over geography and checkbooks and how much she makes and where she lives, there's clearly something going on between the two of you, and there's something going on within her. And
yep.
I would just love to understand what the issues are. I mean,
Look,
I'm a therapist, so that's where my mind goes. You know, I'd love to see all of you in family therapy.
No, there's not a chance to it. There was alcoholism in my first marriage, and I took both my children to my counselor. My son opened right up. She clammed right up. She's a very closed person.
Well,
there's no way I think I could get her to go to a counselor.
Well, that's a different issue. I'm curious, Jane, about your weighing in on this, because if my feeling is if she is under your roof, you can establish some rules. Now, she doesn't have to talk to a therapist. She doesn't have to open up, but she has to go. She has to go because everybody's uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think I think it's very hard. I want to step back, just a couple of steps back. I'm sure you're a wonderful mom, and you have done everything you could for your kids.
I have.
Yeah, and it's probably part of what you're suffering is the sense that you feel that there were things that you didn't do, that you weren't perfect, and that she is somehow suffering partly because of you. The first thing I would suggest is for you to work that through. Guilt is a terrible thing, and at some point you have to forgive yourself and your whole life, and in order to have a strong rock on which to stand with this daughter whom you love.
Well, Jane, you know, this is exactly how we started the show off. You know, it's about knowing what we need as parents and having the courage and wherewithal to say what we need. Maria, thanks so much for your call. And it turns out, you know, what you addressed with Maria is very similar to what I addressed in an Inquirer column and will be the subject of my blog and our web chat tomorrow. I want to tell our audiences that even though Jane's saying goodbye now, that she'll be with me on my web chat tomorrow. That's phillynews.com/askjane. Jane, I look forward to talking with you more tomorrow.
Thank you.
This has been delightful.
Same here. I'll see you tomorrow.
Good.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Jane Isay, and she wrote Walking on Eggshells, Navigating the Delicate Relationship Between Adult Children and Our Parents. We're going to come back. I'm sorry. We're going to come back in a few short minutes and take more of your calls. Our number here, if you want to chat with me about this issue after our break, is 888-477-9499. It's about adult children, working out our relationship with our adult children, or vice versa, if you're an adult child talking about that relationship. Again, that's 888-477-9499. Well, I want to give you another number to call. If you would be so kind, if you care about public broadcasting, Voices in the Family and WHYY, and that number is 888-345-9499. That is the number over at Pledge Central. We're in our spring pledge break, and we're asking you to join the family. Become part of the family here at WHYY. We've got Susan Palenko over there at Pledge Central. I don't know if we have Mike and Scott there.
We do.
Who's our executive producer. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Dan. Hello. We're just listening to this conversation, and what a great topic. I was just saying to Susan, my son is 6 months old. Susan's son is 7.5 years old. But I'm already thinking about this issue. I'm an adult child, and I try to be a good daughter to my parents and try to keep the communication open. But as a new parent, you know, you always focus on what's happening now and the new developmental milestones and this and that. But then I think ahead and I think, how am I going to navigate this when he gets older and all of a sudden he doesn't need me anymore? So, Dan, I'm really glad that you're doing this show today. And if this is the kind of programming that you value here on WHYY, then please call us now at 1-888-345-9499. That's the only way we can make it happen is with your help.
And we can do that. At this point in time, we have a goal this hour, a mini goal this hour, of 25 member pledges. And you can go to whyy.org and make a pledge of support online, or you can give us a call at 1-888-345-9499. And Mike, in this topic of adult children and navigating the relationship with your parents is really interesting to me because, you know, I try to be an adult most of the time. But I think what we understand is that our relationships are constantly changing, and this dynamic nature of the relationships that we have with our siblings, with other adults, and with our parents is the kind of topic that you'll hear Dr. Dan talk about. And it really is the only person, I think, that you'll hear delving into these topics, which makes him such a unique resource and such a unique presence here at WHYY. That's why I listen to Dr. Dan. It's one of the reasons why I'm a member. And since you're listening, you can make that pledge of support for Dr. Dan.
1-888-345-9499 is our number, or you can go online at whyy.org. The food today for our membership drive has been provided by Cantina Dos Segundos. They are on 2nd Street in Northern Liberties, and we thank them. We have a lot of partners in our community who help us throughout the year when we have a membership drive, and we thank all of those great partners. Right now, we're looking for you to become a partner in bringing you Voices in the Family, in bringing you all the great programs that you've come to rely on and that you rely on every day. 1-888-345-9499. A show like Voices in the Family tackles very complicated issues, yes. Susan. There's not, you know, 5 tips to being a better adult parent. There is no such thing, and we all know that. And sometimes, you know, when you read those tips online or you hear them on another program, it's like, it sounds great, but we all know it doesn't work. If it were that easy, we would all be perfect. So a show like Voices needs a little bit of time to develop an issue, to talk about what's really going on, what's helpful, what's not helpful. And time is what we get because of people like you who make a pledge at 1-888-345-9499.
And you can make that pledge at 1-888-345-9499 or go to whyy.org. We're going to go right back to Voices in the Family. So please show your support. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to Voices in the Family. I'm Dan Gottlieb, your host. We are talking about our relationships with our adult children and vice versa, our adult children's relationship with us. This is such an interesting and important issue. Our phone lines are lit up. I have looked at this from every angle, from the angle of a professional. I am now, you know, I have adult children and I'm a grandparent. And, you know, jokingly, I say to Sam, my grandson, I said, you know, pop's rules, no rules. And, you know, of course, it makes my daughter nuts. And, you know, I secretly enjoy that. But, you know, when my parents, I was just realizing this today after having a discussion with Gita Simons, our producer. When I was a parent, a young parent, and, you know, my father did that. When my father did it, I didn't mind. When my mother did it, you know, it felt threatening to me. You know, I was an insecure parent, and I wanted my authority. So So we, if we get lucky, we live and we learn. Let's go to the line so I don't have to embarrass myself anymore. We've got John on the line. Hi, John.
Dan, how are you?
John, hi. What can we do for you?
Well, maybe you could give me a little bit of direction. I have a 39-year-old daughter. She's going to be 40 in November. And I have tried very, very hard over the years to maintain contact. I moved. She lives in New England. I live here in Philadelphia. My career took me away from the New England area a long time ago, but I made it a point when she was growing up. Her mother and I separated when she was very young. I made it a point to go up to Boston at least once a month, sometimes twice, three times. Sometimes I would go up in the middle of the week for a dance recital or something. And, you know, in the years since, I've remarried. I had a couple of more daughters. But she cannot seem to get past the idea that all of her problems stem from the fact that I was not a good father to her.
How do you know that?
Because that's what she told me.
Okay.
Now, I think I was a good dad. I was as good a dad as the circumstances permitted. Other daughters tell me I'm a very good dad.
They're two different things. Whether you hurt her and whether you did everything you could are two different things. I think both are true. You obviously did everything you possibly could. And if I were you, I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to be very painful and very difficult. You're going to have to trust her for the moment that your behavior did hurt her and hurt her terribly. Now, all you know right now is that she's angry at you, and you know the abstract comment of that she's been hurt. But here's the difficult thing I want you to do with her, if she will do it. Ask her to help you understand what your absence did to her, how it hurt, how she carries it. It's going to be tough to listen to, but don't apologize for what you did, because then you're asking something of her. Just listen to her and try to understand what happened to her. Not what a bad guy you are, but what happened to your daughter. It's going to be really painful, John. But hopefully she will feel heard and respected by you. And hopefully she won't be so wed to that story.
It's a good idea.
Hard to do. It's really hard to do.
You betcha.
Well, you know, I wish I could offer you something easy, but give it a try. You know, this parenting business, you know, it's hard.
Job's training.
It's hard. It really is. All right. Take care of yourself, John.
You do the same.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye-bye. That's the issue when we've hurt someone, whether we did it intentionally or not. God knows John did not do it intentionally, but she was hurt. And, you know, he might be right that that's just her story that she's hanging on to. And he's right about that. But, you know, how do we begin to heal? What do any of us need when we heal in order to heal? We need the person who hurt us to really understand what their behavior did, how we've hurt. I mean, that's what's behind these truth and reconciliation hearings, you know, somebody to understand our pain, and then we can move on. Hard, easy to say, hard to do. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Nikki on the line. Nikki, hi, you're on Voices.
Hi, Dr. Dan, can you hear me?
I can hear you very well.
Hi, I am calling, and I just heard your call, your last caller, and I think my situation is probably the same. I am 34 now. I was raised by my grandparents since the age of one. And so they were basically my parents took care of me. Grew up in a very strict household. Didn't go out a lot. Was expected to do, you know, instrumental lessons on weekends, church on Sunday, do well in school. So I grew up in a very strict household.
You're talking about them. Tell us about you.
About me. Okay.
Yeah, how was your life?
Wow. For most of my childhood, I felt trapped.
Okay.
I felt like I was basically living up to their expectations, but I didn't really have... I wasn't allowed to do things or take risks on my own as a child, and I used my adulthood to do that.
Okay.
But right. Now I find myself extremely angry with them, and I'll tell you why. Growing up, they were very overly critical of me, even when I did something, I think, you know, if I did something pretty well, there was always something that I could do better. There was always, you know, that step above that you could do better. And I feel even now at 34, you know, going over the house for holidays, just going for visits is extremely hard because there's always that criticism.
You're talking about your grandparents now, right?
Especially from my grandmother.
Right.
And I guess at this point, because they're 80 years old, and I just listened to your last comment about, you know, trying to explain to them how their behavior, or rather my grandmother's behavior, has affected me. I find when I try to have those conversations with her, she gets overly defensive. So I'm wondering at this point, you know, because the visits are slacking off. I go over there maybe once a month.
So let me turn the tables here. All
okay.
Right? I mean, the title of the show is Adult Children and Their Parents, right?
Yes.
So you are the aforementioned adult child. So I want to switch roles here. I want you to be the adult in this context. And instead of trying to convince your grandmother of something, flip it around. Ask your grandmother what makes her happy. What is it about her life that's brought her joy? And what is it about her life that she's been disappointed in? And I'll bet you are going to greet a very unhappy woman if she's able to open up with you. But talk to her about her life, and then if she opens up with you, you will begin to see her as a woman rather than a critical grandmother. Open the door more.
Okay.
That's the responsibility of the adult child rather than a small child, you know?
So I guess stop the cycle of, I guess, the roles that we've been playing out since I was a child.
Exactly.
And kind of stop it and look at it a different way.
Right. Don't look for her approval. And maybe once you can get to meet her as the mm-hmm. woman she is, maybe you could offer her some of your approval. And if you can find it in your heart to approve of her, you might find that's the first time in her life she's received approval from someone.
Hmm.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Different.
Just a thought.
I think I'm going to try that.
All right, Amy. Keep me posted, okay? Send me an email. Tell me how
I
it goes.
Will do that.
All right. Take care of you, my friend.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We are talking about adult children and their relationship with their parents, in Amy's case, grandparents. And we're talking about our relationship with our adult children. Our number is 888-477-9499. Our lines are filled. But stay with us. We're going to go to your calls in just a few minutes, but I want to give you another number. Now, if you're listening to this show, it means you like what you're hearing. If you're listening to this station, same thing. You think this station is important to you. Guess what? It is. This kind of programming, this station, NPR, now more than ever, is important. Give us a call at 888-345-9499. 9499. We're in our spring pledge break, and we'd like you to join the family. We'd like you to show your support for us, because we think about you every day with every program. So tell us how you feel about us by calling that number and making a pledge to WHYY. We're joined by Susan Palinko and Mike and Scott, both of whom have contributed largely to what you're hearing on the air today. Mike and Susan, hi.
Hi, Dan. Give us a call, and hello to you. Give us a call at 1-888-345-9499. The listener who called in just now, you know, she got some good, solid advice. And at the end, she said the operative words, wow, that's different.
Right.
And different it is. What we do on Voices in the Family, a lot of times you'll get a different perspective. You'll get a different piece of advice. And it's very helpful. It's not your cookie cutter, five steps to a better you, do this, this, and this, and you'll be a brand new person. Because that doesn't work, and we all know it. So this is the kind of advice that's helpful, that's thoughtful, and if you want to support that, we encourage you to call in right now at 1-888-345-9499.
And I think Dan also made the point, Mike, and that the lines are full, so he has a lot of people calling in who want to engage in this discussion about adult children and their relationships with their parents. So if every single one of those people that was calling in to Dr. Dan also called us to become a member and to support Voices, what a wonderful thing. 1-888-345-9499 or online at whyy.org. Dr. Dan is a person who makes a difference. He makes a difference in our lives every day. And by listening to Voices in the Family, I think you really get a very interesting perspective on yourself, on other people, and on the interactions. And I think it really forces us to try and be better people.
And the other interesting thing about Voices in the Family is that it's a show that's been here for a very long time. It's been here well over 20 years. And that's because people like you make it possible by becoming members of the station. The longevity of the programs that we bring you depends on people like you who call in at 1-888-345-9499, who make a pledge, who say, you know what, I want to be involved, I want to be part of this, and I want to support this. Give us a call now, become a member of WHYY, and make everything that we do here possible. 1-888-345-9499. And now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Voices in the Family. I'm Dan Gottlieb. We're talking about our relationships with our adult children and vice versa. Listen, to those of you who have called in with your pledges or logged on and contributed to the show, to the station, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for your support. It means a great deal to me. It means a great deal to all of us. So given that, let's go right back to the lines. We've got a lot of people who want to talk about this issue. We've got Renee on the line.
Hi.
Hi, Renee.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Are you able to hear me?
I'm able to hear you clearly.
Okay. This show has been really hard for me to listen to. I am not able to talk to my mom right now. I sort of gave up communication because I don't know what else to do. I've tried everything I can to try to talk to her. I would give anything to know about her as a person. I know that she's been living under the thumb of my grandmother for a very long time, and we had to when my folks split up. So that was kind of a necessity at first, but now it's still happened. And because of that, she's absorbed a lot of that negative criticism and now spews it out towards me. She has admitted that my sister is her favorite child. She has done a lot of things that were incredibly hurtful, including calling my husband behind my back and telling him, you know, asking him if my choice of working towards a career path in, you know, in music is, you know, somehow setting myself up for failure, and a lot of different things. The latest compounding factor was the fact that I found a faith that works for me, and I'm very happy about. I don't disavow where I came from. I'm very proud of it, and I intend for any kids I have eventually to learn from it. She refuses to. She doesn't want to know, and I I don't know what else to do.
Well, so, what would you like to see happen?
I would like, I would love it for my mom to just ask questions about me, about maybe how I got to where I am, or take an interest. I don't know. I know she's a world of hurt. I know she's got so much guilt, and she beats up on herself, so I know that that's how she operates, and I can't get past that. I can't get through that, and I don't know how, and I've tried everything I know how.
Well,
I don't make bad decisions for myself, but I've been told that I do,
I
was in therapy for 10 years before I realized that maybe I'm not the problem here.
Right. You're not. Renee, don't try to get through anything. When anybody tries to get through anything in anybody else, you're going to hit a wall. First of all, you're going to have to give up trying to be in a relationship with the mother you want. I mean, that's not going to happen. What you're asking for is reasonable for any child, but it's probably not realistic. That's not going to happen. At best, you're going to be in a relationship with the mother you have. And that may or may not be pretty. You can, and that may not happen. That may not happen for a while. I hate email and I love email. But what I love about it is it takes the emotion out of things. So
yeah.
if I were you, perhaps you could just drop her a line and tell her about the relationship you would like. You can tell her your understandings do seem to have some compassion for her, for the difficulties in her life, and just, you know, that's what you would like with her, and whenever she is ready, to please call you or email you.
Okay.
All right, instead of aggressively pursuing anything, okay?
And
I think what you might find is a great deal of sadness, even grief, in the wake of this.
It's already there, so.
Yeah, exactly. So let yourself mourn what needs to be mourned. Okay?
Okay.
All right, I'm sorry. It's so difficult for both of you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Let's see if we can get another call on. We've got Kira on the line.
Hi, Dr. Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, my pleasure.
Oh, perhaps I can bring a bit of light into what has been a fairly sad half hour. I'm 29 years old. I have lived with my parents for the last 3 years due to my job, which requires me to travel a lot. So I figured I would stay at home rather than renting a place I was never in. The discovery that I have made about my parents now that I'm a grown adult is that I feel my parents are probably a lot cooler than I ever was. Certainly am now. Two slightly humorous anecdotes. The first being my parents, who are the parents of five children, I'm the oldest, they were always home taking care of us when we were growing up. They didn't have a lot of money. As they're in their mid-50s now, they have started, a new phase in their life. They have friends with whom they go out, and one of the roles I have assumed has become designated driver. So they go out on the weekends, and they have drinks and dinner with their friends, and then they call me, the responsible one, and I come and I pick them up because they're too, I'll just say, too happy to drive. Another very kind of funny and ironic anecdote. This weekend, they had made plans to go out with a couple who are friends of theirs. And I kind of wanted to go, but I thought, I don't want to be a fifth wheel. They probably want to go out with their friends, and they'll feel like if I'm there, they can't really talk about the things they want to talk about. In the end, I ended up going, and we had fun, but I just thought, how ironic that I'm thinking, I don't want to be a fifth wheel to my parents who are too cool for me.
Isn't it amazing how these relationships shift? Well, I want to tell you something, Kira. I could hear the smile in your voice the second you said hello, and you sound like a remarkably happy, energetic person, And I would also guess that some of that joy in your voice and in your life is genetic, because we know there is a happy gene. So, you know, you sound like you got a happy family. And I'm thinking, as I listen to your parents, I wonder if they would be interested in adopting a 62-year-old guy, because, you know, we could all have some more fun in our lives. Kira, thanks so much for your call. And I want to thank you all for your calls. Listen, if you want to talk about this some more, as I mentioned, we're going to do this on my web chat tomorrow. It's phillynews.com/askdan. We'll be talking with you, and we'll be talking with Jane Isay, who we spoke with earlier, who wrote Walking on Eggshells, Navigating the Delicate Relationship Between Adult Children and Their Parents. We will see you next week, when we're going to talk about resilience in children. It should be a great show. But I want to give you another number to call, because there's only a couple of minutes left to show your support for Voices in the Family during our spring pledge break. The number is 888-345-9499, and that's the number to call to show how you feel about Voices in the Family and WHYY and public broadcasting in general. We're joined by Susan Palenko and Mike and Scott, who's going to tell you more about the show and what this really means to our station. Susan, Mike, and
thank you, Dan. Give us a call now at 1-888-345-9499. And Dan, you are not free for adoption. We're not going to let anybody take you away from us, that's for sure. So give us a call at 1-888-345-9499. Become a member of WHYY and support everything that we do here. A show like Voices in the Family is very unique. It's been here on this station for well over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And that success has been made possible by you. Not only the people who listen, because they say, you know what, this is different. I like this. This is thoughtful. This is helpful. This tells me more about who I am, who the people I love, who they are. So that success was made possible by the listeners. But more than anything, it's been made possible by members. If you want to become a member, we invite you to do so. 1-888-345-9499 or Susan on the web, whyy.org.
That's true. If you go to whyy.org, you can see the numerous ways we have to say thank you. But what we really need you to do, or would like you to do, is to make a pledge of support. 1